У гостях у нас гарна дівчина, як по-українськи, знаток, ведунья, знавець, ведунья, колдунья. Колдунья, яка може змінити зрителя, ведунья, колдунья, Анугіта Девідасі. Вона також бачить по-англійськи, да? Трохи. Do you speak English?
Yes, I do.
So, tonight we have a very special show. Our psychiatrist, psychologist, modern trainer, modern self-development guide, Анугіта from Kyiv. She is working in a yoga center. She'll be asking questions which commonly asked by her patients or those who she's trained. I don't know if we can call them patients. Can we call them patients? Are they patients? They consider themselves patients when people coming to you? Они считаются больными?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. So how they perceive themselves?
Dry.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Анугіта, and I'm very glad to see everybody. Сейчас я хочу спросить нашего уважаемого Адута Махараджа о том, что обычно задают мне люди на консультациях. Адут Махарадж спросил, считают ли они себя больными? Очень редко, на самом деле. Они приходят, люди ко мне приходят просто поговорить и понять, почему у них возникают проблемы в жизни.
So speaks English. So they don't consider themselves as patients. Like they don't consider they got serious problems. They're just coming to consult, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
И один из основных вопросов, которые задают такие люди, которые приходят на консультацию, это как совместить духовное и материальное.
That's a very good question. So she say one of the most important question, which people ask, how to kind of merge spiritual and material life. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one very important question. I've been trying so hard, I was not successful. It's almost impossible to merge material and spiritual life. I tell you why. Because material life is when you're going down and spiritual life when you're going up. Mm-hmm. So generally we can say in our spiritual life, the movement has come up and down. But if we look at the way people measure things, it's a trend. So it means you're going up and down towards some spiritual concept, or with your spiritual concept, you're going towards mundane goals. So it's not possible at the same time to try to go up and down. But the important questions which people would like to know, how you can exist in this world by being a spiritual person. This is the most important part. Mm-hmm. Because to combine spiritual and material life, it's very difficult. It's total contradiction. It's total craziness. It's not going to work. But what's going to work is when you understand you're actually a spiritual being, your spirit soul. And everything what you try to do is supposed to fulfill your inner necessity. But then as a being spiritual being, you're conditioned by a material body, which you have to eat, sleep. But when you have the high goals, high values, high ideals, that's where harmony can come to your life. Because you still need to sleep. That's just like a soldier. Whilst he's in the service, he has to sleep. He has to eat, but he's in the service. So the service mood, it's just repurpose, make a different purpose of your life, then everything will come in harmony. Цель жизни должна быть изменена, и тогда будет совершенно другая.
Да, и очень часто, как уже сказал Адут Махарадж, люди ассоциируют духовную жизнь с полнейшей бедностью, а материальную — это как бы стремление к высоким материальным благам.
Right, so what you said in English is very important. Most people think the spiritual people is some kind of a poor, unable, disabled, not creative, not inspiring persons who join religious organization, church or ashram, because there's nothing better they can do in life. That's a very mundane approach. Actually, the spiritual people, they are most creative people. And if you really truly study the history of art, culture, even the science, you'll find out one of the best astronomers were monk. The art sped from monasteries while the religion lost its original sense and meaning in modern world. It's become something different. But if we can say the original religion have to bring someone to deep level of spirituality, and spirituality actually is the another word of harmony, then everything comes together. Then you can understand art, creativity, ability to do things, to appreciate beauty, to properly manage resources. That's actually a great spiritual qualities. So we can say that in modern humanity, problem is they can't identify those values with spiritual values because they have very vague understanding what is spirituality. And what is religion? They think it's barbarian, you know, past, which they don't even understand what it is. But in Vedic religion, in Vaishnava religion, Vaishnava way of thinking, many things will come to harmony. I'll give you very simple suggestions. For instance, in the modern day, people want to find unified philosophy for the world. Everybody talk about global world as a global family. But how can you accept everybody globally based on caste, race, creed, position, economy? You can't really do it. But once you understand teachings of Bhagavad Gita, see that soul, the Atma, the divinity, presence, and not only in every human being, it's also in animals, plants, and universe, there's a universal soul, then you can unify through this spiritual thinking. And also, once you perceive yourself, you're not the owner of this planet, you're not the owner of the resources, you're not a great, mighty American or big Chinese or big Russian, you're actually eternal soul, you're a servant of God, you're a guest in this world. Actually, it's a great way to think. So once I was traveling in Siberia by plane, and there was one man who were bringing one American, you know, rich person to Siberia, and he said, well, you know, actually, in my forest, I can set you up that we can go hunt and we can kill the bear, you know, we can take the bear, we can go hunt the deer. And I said to him, I said, I'm sorry, you know, what I've heard you speaking about you as a man of Siberia, like proprietor, but actually, really, in this forest, you're a guest. So just imagine, you are a guest, but your mentality is, you'll come to the forest, you kill that animal, you do this, you do that. How? What do you think about, like, if in your house, somebody come and consider you like a rabbit and think, oh, you know, I want to kill this guy for the pleasure of my wife or something else. So this barbarian consciousness is really a mundane consciousness, a spiritual consciousness. It's very progressive consciousness. It's based on spiritual teachings like Bhagavad Gita. And anybody would read that, he'll understand universal approach. That's why all the intellectuals value this more than religion.
Я бы хотела еще дополнить, вот как с точки зрения ведического астролога, потому что я являюсь еще ведическим астрологом, что материальные блага к нам приходят в этой жизни только как карма с прошлой жизни, и они фиксированы, они относятся к прарабдха-карме, неизменной карме. И будет ли человек сильно много работать, или он будет заниматься духовной практикой, столько, сколько ему положено материальных благ, они все равно придут к нему.
She said very interesting things. As a Vedic astrologer, it's actually very funny. The money you're supposed to earn in this life, it's the result of your previous life. You know, it's like invest, work today, invest in future.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, people who work for pension, like work today your life, and you know, when you retire, you have a good life. Yeah, this is an interesting point, but we can say, well, the person's life in gods of Krishna and gods of God, if God really think this world is meant for enjoyment, he would like make a big Disneyland. If the God think that this place is world of suffering, there'll be like a concentration camp. So what we can see in this world, it's not for enjoyment, not for suffering. It has both enjoyment, that's actually when you start to degrade, suffering, where actually makes you like all conscious about your problem and self. But really, it's not for two of these extremes. It's rather for development, for education. For this world is a great lesson for someone to realize, I'm a spiritual being, I really belong to different civilization, to the highest civilization, to spiritual civilization. So even the ideal spiritual societies, this world, they're very temporarily. But in this world, you definitely can have spiritual practice, spiritual experience, and go forward in this life, in your spiritual development, so the next life, you continue spiritual progress. Mm-hmm. To our viewers, anybody have questions, they can chat the questions, can we control? Можем ли мы узнать, пишут ли нам какие-то вопросы, сколько нас смотрят? В чате можно писать, они вопросы? Okay, we have no viewers, it's also good. Like one viewer. Okay, so next question.
Следующий вопрос, который вытекает из предыдущего. В обычной жизни человек, когда становится на путь познания чего-то необычного, он начинает много всего узнавать, читать, много-много-много потреблять знаний, информации, скорее бы. И как вот такую информацию перевести в состояние веры, когда знания переходят в веру?
That's actually a very good question, because some people think to be well informed about something make you expert. It's not truth. There are so many people who know so much about cinema, they can't become movie directors. There are so many people who know and even teach about business, they're quite poor, relatively compared to the business people. So just to have an information is not enough. That's why what we say in Vedas is reveal truth, realize truth. First of all, number one, the truth, the spiritual truth has to be revealed to us through media of guru, sadhu, shastra, meaning like you have a teacher, spiritual science, and those who practice and apply this spiritual science into their practical daily life. So that's a very important principle, because most people have a very common mistake. They think, well, spirituality is when I see some immersive dreams, or when I, you know, look at some person and, you know, in the core of my heart, I get the message. That's possible, but that's not exactly make you a realized person. You have to go to process of transformation, and process of transformation is called education. So the goal of education is realization. No schools are making some theorists. The school meant to take someone and convert him into a practical person with a practical knowledge and wisdom. So therefore, one of the deepest education in the school or in the college, when having partially be educated, you start practicing a medicine, you know, a science, and gradually from a plane of theory, you transfer yourself to plane of reality. You know how to apply all these things. So a similar type in spiritual knowledge. You start from theory, association. You go on to level of practice. And as you progress along your spiritual practice, progress means, you know, like some people say, well, I've been in Krishna consciousness for 10 years. So you can ask a similar question. Oh, I've been in the school for 10 years, and you ask him in which grade, in which level, level one or level two, or you like in 10 years you went through all the levels. So it's not about time, how long you've been connected with that. It's about intensity of your spiritual practice, education, level of your association, self-development, and definitely about your previous experience. So Rupa Goswami say, if you have bhakti in this life, that means you must had some connection with previous life, and you will have a next life. Mm-hmm. So it's a process of evolution. It's not like you know, I'm joining the Bhakti Yoga and tomorrow I'll be the great Bhakti Yogi. It's not going to work like this. In any true profession in the world, you can't be an amateur dancer, amateur director, amateur doctor in a very short time. It's just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So take life, experience, and your own talent. Mm-hmm. And as people say, talent is like 99% work and 1% grace of God.
И тогда следующий вопрос. Может ли и нужен ли в этом случае учитель или гуру, как называют, вообще кто это такой, как он приходит, как понять, что это, и какую роль он обозначивает в процессе духовной жизни? Okay,
she's asking very good questions. So if we're talking about spiritual education, then what part of spiritual education particularly guru have? Because in the religion, guru or priest have very vague positions. Not clear. His position is not clear. Somebody think he's psychiatrist, psychologist. He's the what is his true position? Well, actually, the Veda itself explained Tasmat Guru Prapadyata Jigyasushi Uttama Shabda Para Chanishtanam Tasmai Upasamashrayam. He has to be qualified in divine sound. Like, he has to be a realized person, and he has to experience the knowledge. The knowledge has to be real in him. He can't be just a theorist. So as we can understand, such guru are very rare, Cha Mahatma Sudurlabha. So as we can understand, there'll be different gurus in our life. There'll be people who have partial knowledge. There'll be people who are inspiring us. They also could take function of the guru. But real spiritual master, the spiritual teacher who's qualified to transmit us special spiritual knowledge is very, very rare. Actually, the scripture said such teacher is rare to meet, because we're lucky if we actually get good teacher in anything in our life, in music and art, but to get a spiritual teacher, it's a very, very big luck. So the question comes, well, if such a guru exists one out of millions, then what's the hope for others? Then the question comes, has to be such a proper student. So we can understand the real spiritual master very rare, the real spiritual students are very rare. When they meet, that's where the real transaction comes. But of course, we can also understand that because people are in different stage of spiritual evolution and they're seeking, and that process take life after life, in each life, you meet teacher by grace of God, by grace of Krishna, according Krishna's will. Like, if God's will, he'll send you some great teacher. And there's also, God may send you some great teacher, you're not ready for it. So it's like, do you understand? It's like both. It's disciple development, mm-hmm. and the teacher. Just like in Jesus Christ's story, you know, he was a great teacher. Some of his disciples betray him. Some of his disciples could not appreciate him. And Vedic concept, you can also see that. So it's because we have free will. The free will, that's the most beautiful part of living entity. But that's like the worst part of our nature, because we have that constant tendency to misuse our free will. If you remove from us free will, the love is not possible. So free will is the one condition according to which we have the love. But because we have free will, we need love now, today. And it transfers our lust. We put some divine things and very lost numbers of on our list, and that's where the problem starts. So the problem starts, just like you said, when we think, oh, we're really spiritual beings, but you know, we need love today, and you know, we need to do something for that, and that's where we start deviate. And it's possible for us to deviate time to time, but it's not possible for us to be eternally deviant. So in the Vedic history, you'll see the point where somebody's coming to Krishna is Sharanagati, surrender. And sometimes it doesn't come in most beautiful and pleasant circumstance. Rather, the people surrender to Krishna out of circumstance. They have no any way to surrender. That's why Krishna put his devotees in circumstance, like just a great elephant Gajendra. One life he was a great king, made some mistake, next life become an elephant. So when he surrendered to Krishna, when crocodile attacked him in the water, and he realized, I can't fight this crocodile in the water. So being a king of elephants in the water, I'm just useless. So that's what happened with like people like Hugo Chavez, like great leaders, they die of cancer. So they might be great leaders, an assembly of the whole country, but, you know, having mortal, human-like, very weak nature, they just have to die. And that's what the truth about this world. So everything mundane have to die. Mundane love, mundane friends, mundane parents. Everything mundane will die, and everything eternal will live. So we have a very special guest tonight in our show. Thank you very much.
Thank you very
much. Bhakti Lalita Devidasya. My questions would be to Bhakti Lalita. You just came from China. And China is a very interesting country. It's a country which, from some point, the greatest nation of the future, but have certain things from the past. So as a spiritual person meeting young, progressive Chinese people, what do you feel?
I feel a lot of potential and a new revolution about to take place.
Okay, but I want to ask you a very important question. See, you're from country where being individual, being self, have your own intellectual rights is almost standard and pride. And you're going to country where everybody were told that you have to sacrifice your individual self, your rights for the greatness of country and people and human. And you sort of have to like dissolve in society. So being like an American thinking person with a very individual character, you're practically speaking the very opposite culture. So what do you found about, good about that?
Well, first of all, I'm not a typical American.
Okay.
And I left America at the age of 18.
Why?
In search for Sri Guru and His grace.
Well, that's a typical American. All Americans are great adventurists. I mean, we understand you went for the spiritual adventure. You didn't went to search for gold or for business. Yeah, that's not typical, but okay.
But, you know, I expected to be in a very restricted situation in China, knowing it's communist and seeing others go there and have to change their cloth and be discreet about their devotional practices. But I decided not to do that.
Right. I think you're
and
just
I wore my sari and my tilak everywhere, and even the police smiled at us.
So they like you.
Yeah. But we weren't doing anything to attract unwanted attention.
Well,
we
weren't making
a disturbance.
Our show is purely philosophical. So you went to China in the dress of a monk, actually thinking you're going in a very communist country, but for some reason you decide just to be there as yourself. Yes. What made you to make a decision like this?
Just wanting to keep my ideals and my who I am and my dress, my designation. I prefer to be open with it.
Oh, great.
And nothing to hide, and I'm doing nothing wrong.
Does people had any questions to you, like why you become a monk as being women?
No, they more thought I was a fairy. They called me Fairy Lady.
Fairy?
Yes. Well, like a little imaginary being.
Okay.
Amongst them.
So they perceive you as some ideal that they can never approach.
Well, Maybe on an affectionate level.
Okay.
But they knew I was there for a spiritual purpose, and that's what I represent.
Do they ask any deep questions?
Yes, of course.
So what's
we celebrated Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day together. Also the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. And I felt he'd especially be happy to see Krishna consciousness in China, devotees being initiated and chanting and dancing in the holy name of Krishna.
Well, you've said many, many specific words and terms that only spiritual people would understand clearly. I just like you to reply in a very common, simple language.
Okay.
What you detect in Chinese people that different from culture you spread out from, what you value in them, and what you see in them need to be developed in a spiritual development?
I see a potential opportunity for everyone in China to embrace spiritual life in their hearts and apply the teachings and practices in a way that suits them and that would be favorable for them in their particular countries.
Okay, I'll start to ask you a tricky question. I met one person who told me, in China, if man wants interesting in religion, he'll probably become to Buddhist monastery. If women, she has a chance to join Krishna consciousness. In Chinese a traditional way like Taoism and Buddhism, the word God, although they talk about him, is not very clear. In Krishna consciousness, you have Krishna who's dancing, has many gopis. It's kind of like very revolutionary idea for Chinese. And as you see, most of people that connecting with Krishna consciousness are women. Why?
Because women have an easier ego to deal with. Their egos are softer, and a devotional tendency is natural for them. It's more natural for a woman to come and offer herself to superior association, spiritual ideals, a devotional life.
What does Chinese women expect from Krishna consciousness? Because in China, people are very much family-oriented. The Chinese culture means you have a big family, father, mother, children. Unfortunately, not everybody can have more than one children. But Chinese see happiness and like one big table sitting with the whole family and eating, which I think partially with prasadam and kirtan provide them that comfort in Krishna consciousness, because you have that family, like a group of devotees who's chanting, dancing.
We did plenty of that. That's something that doesn't have to be omitted, that can be dovetailed into spiritual practice. The honoring of Mahaprasadam can be done together. There's a family mood within spiritual life.
Well,
and it's natural.
I like your statement, family mood and spiritual life. Can you describe this in a
more
elaborate
way?
For our viewers, like who is maybe inspiring for Krishna consciousness or watching us now?
Well, we found that in a very intense way in our Gurudev. He was a family-oriented guru, a father, a mother, a friend, a brother. He was affectionately dealing with us on a very personal level and a very family level. And that is infused in his disciples and his mission by his devotees and followers. So anyone who has his connection and studied under his guidance have got that sweet family mood, and that spreads everywhere the devotees go.
Actually, what you're saying is very, very interesting. But for me, it's hard to understand. In the country where a main philosophical concept, whether God does not exist because of the Soviet communist idea, or God does not exist because of Taoism, Buddhism, which actually love the family from another point, love the society, love the joint work, love to sing together, love to work together, Krishna appear. Isn't it like a miracle?
Yes, it is.
So give me some of your fresh comments on that.
We know Krishna appears for his own self, to satisfy his own purpose, for himself, by himself. And we are all part of his orchestra, instruments in his orchestra.
You feel in the core of your heart that Krishna has a special plan for China?
Sure. He wants China to get mercy and blessings and Krishna conscious practicing life, the opportunity to participate.
But I want to ask you a question, because you've been around for some, you know, several years. You've been in India. What is practicing life for you? What does it mean? Because people think, well, the practicing life is a monk sitting with the beads, or, you know, somebody reading book. What is it for you? What is practicing life for you? Which is the most important part of practicing life for you? Which you consider, in your case, is most important of your practicing life?
Number one, fulfilling the wish and the instructions of the spiritual master, and pleasing the superior devotees, and trying to encourage and assist the junior devotees, and trying to apply in a practical way all the teachings, all the philosophy in a practical, tangible way, applying it, being humble, being tolerant, giving honor to others.
It's kind of almost impossible to follow.
Staying in the association of sadhus, of Vaishnavas, trying to please everybody as best as possible.
Okay, so we had Bhakti Lalita on our show.